Listen, if you give me them cards, I will nick them, all right?
Hey, you're funny, you are.
No, I'm not. I'm horrible. I'm a little bit woo, a little bit wee, a little bit... I'm dodgy. I'm a geezer. I will nick anything. I am a total... And you're not supposed to know that word.
Just please look after them. I'll be over there, then I'll be back in a minute.
Listen, son, it's a dog-eat-dog world, and I will eat your dog.
What?
Nah, look, I'll tell you what. I'm only joking. Look, just this once, as a favour to you, because you're a cheeky little sod. Right, I'll do it. Come on. Give me a... Right, let's see. What you got in here, anyway? Let's have a look. Oh, Mewtwo! I'll have that.
That's British sketch comedy legend Paul Whitehouse. He's been gracing our television screen since 1994 with The Far Show and his iconic collaboration with Harry Enfield in Harry and Paul. He's been paying homage to the craft he loves most in his new TV series, Sketch Show Years, it's called, and it's charting 60 years of moments that influenced his own comedy. Now, I caught up with Paul Whitehouse earlier and I asked him what it was like to compile all the material for this new show.
It's almost a sort of saying goodbye to the sketch show, really, isn't it? Because, or rather, it's a celebration of what's gone before, but I don't think we're going to see very many in the future like we've seen in the past, because people have stopped making them. You know, panel shows, sitcoms, comedy dramas, that's the sort of go-to place. I still believe, as you know, as my career would suggest, that the best comedy, I think, is in sketch shows. And I would even say something like Only Fools and some of those really big sitcoms, they almost become, you distill them down to the catchphrases and the characters. So I'm playing fast and loose here. But yeah, I think it's a shame that we're not going to see any new sketch shows. But as the point I've tried to make is that the sketch show kind of lives on in our phones now, doesn't it? You know, we get sent and we send sketches to our friends, you know, via TikTok, YouTube, memes, GIFs, you name it. That's how we look at comedy like that now.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, you are right. And it is a shame about what's happening at the moment. Maybe things will change. But look, let's get... I want to touch on that in a second. But let's kick off at the beginning, because what was wonderful in the first episode of this really brilliant series, you talk about the birth of the sketch show, which in itself is really interesting, because that also happened from an innovation, right?
It did.
People
on
stage, then radio...
Indeed, exactly that. It was a technological innovation that allowed the music hall to transfer onto radio, so you had Itmar and the Goons. Quite radical stuff, almost impenetrable to us, isn't it? You look at it with a mixture of kind of sentimentality and also, I don't understand the world that these people are in.
Yeah, why is everyone laughing?
I know. And that's why we did Arthur Atkinson, you know. Hey, where's me washbowl? How queer? You know, we were sort of mocking ourselves and also mocking those old comedies that seemed to have no relevance. But that journey, as you say, was technically went from music hall, radio, and then you're into TV, the early TV stuff with the precursors to Monty Python and Pete and Dud. And how don't Pete and Dud look fresh still? I think incredible.
Oh, very much. And you play the art gallery sketch.
Oh, it's amazing.
In the episode. And I just love, and you mention it in your voiceover when you're watching the sketch, this Pete's sort of twinkle in the eye trying to get Dudley Moore to laugh.
Gimlet eyes, I think. Yeah,
that's the line.
Laugh, and Dudley.
And sort of allowing that to sort of happen. And you said something, I think, as well, which sort of sets some performers apart. They know that their audience are smart. They know that their audience know what's going on. They don't have to explain it. They don't have to clean it up.
Nothing patronising about it, is there
at all? Exactly.
Even if you don't know some of the art references, and I still don't, I'd rather they didn't patronise me. But no, it's fantastic. I love Peter Cook and Dudley Moore and Monty Python. They were my sort of influences, you know. But then you move on to that sort of glorious decade of sketch shows, I suppose, which is 70s, you know. And, you know, Benny Hill and Dick Emery, comedians that we look back now and sort of throw our hands up in mock horror or real horror about some of it. But I did find the Dick Emery, "Ooh, you are awful," very funny. I don't, you know, it's so crass in some ways, but it did make me laugh. So
the complete absence in the 70s of female comedians playing. I mean, as you say in the show, like, if there was a need for a female character, then the male comedian would just dress up.
Yeah, and it's historically, it's quite interesting. But you do wonder why, don't you? Well, we wonder why. Obviously, women weren't allowed into the comedy club, were they, till the 80s, really. Victoria Wood and Dawn and Jen broke the glass comedy ceiling. And what a treat, as Jules Holland might say. What a treat, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, the series is full of all the classics, because you've picked your best bits. One of my favourite all-time sketch has to be the Two Ronnies Mastermind sketch.
It's incredible, isn't it?
Just really clever writing. Yeah. Didn't know that it was sort of the idea had been preceded by Benny Hill.
That's an interesting satellite link sketch.
Because when you played that, I thought, oh, that's like the Two Ronnies sketch. But actually, he did it first.
He did it first, yeah. And it's a great idea. And, you know, Benny Hill's been kind of dismissed as, you know, and Hill's Angels. Yeah. But before that, and in there somewhere, was a very good comedy performer and a very good writer. And he wrote that sketch, which, preceded the classic Mastermind.
Yeah, the idea of answering a question.
Question, yes.
in the wrong order.
Yeah.
The other thing that comes across, Paul, apart from, of course, the love, the nostalgia, your infinite knowledge about everyone, and also your credits to other people who were sort of the sidekicks, who are lesser known than perhaps the lead comedian, and giving credit to them as well. But another thing that I didn't sort of, maybe naively didn't know, but it's how much interplay there was between comedians. Like you said, you wrote sketches for other comedians, they wrote sketches for you, that everybody was sort of writing and sharing with each other.
Yeah, well, it's a very fertile ground, isn't it, for an emerging writer as well. And not many people can, you know, sort of come to the table with a fully formed comedy drama, you know, a six-part, or these days a 10-part, hour-long comedy drama, fully written and with fully rounded characters and plot development. A sketch show gives you the confidence. You know, some of the best comedy is just nonsense and daft knockabout comedy. Now, you can do that in a sketch show and it doesn't have to be relevant to any plot or theme. So it gave you great confidence if you could write a sketch for somebody else, you know. And you could hear it. I wrote a couple of lines for Lenny Henry when Harry and I were starting out. And Harry'd written some stuff for Lenny. And so, you know, it was, for me, it was like, wow, what an achievement. I've got a couple of gags, not particularly good ones, but they're there in Lenny's set. And it gives you the confidence. And that breeding ground, if you like, isn't there anymore, because we don't... Actually, I'll go back a step. There are still sketch shows, and weirdly, they're on the radio, because sketch shows are expensive to make, but of course they're not on the radio, because you don't have to have makeup and costume. You know, there's still things like Dead Ringers. I listened to the other day, and it made me laugh a lot. And I was so happy when... And now, Dead Ringers. And I was like, great, I've got half an hour of joy now and fun, you know?
Do you think we're going to see the return? As you mentioned, the main reason why we're not seeing those sketch shows on RTV is cost. If you think about, you know, you're going to spend X amount of money to send everybody to a location to film something that will last a minute and a half for a gag.
Exactly.
Then companies and broadcasters think, well, we just can't afford that. But do you think it will come back?
There are economies of scale, aren't there? When we did the Fast Show and we did Jess, you know, this week I have been mostly eating yogurt. We could knock off 20 of those, you know, in half an hour. But yes, it does tend to be an expensive format. I imagine, I suppose, like everything comes back eventually, doesn't it? And maybe somebody will come up with a way of producing a cheap sketch show, and maybe we'll see it back on our screens. But as I say, you know, as we move away from TV, we will be seeing sketches, but we'll be seeing them on our phones, on our laptops and iPads, and God knows what, through TikTok, YouTube, you know, and GIFs and memes. I think that's the way it will go. But wouldn't it be nice to see a fully formed sketch show on the telly? Mm.
Well, if anybody, any producers out there listening to that, wouldn't it be nice to see some more sketch shows on the telly? That, of course, was Paul Whitehouse there talking about the sketch show years, his new TV show that pays homage to the craft. It's fantastic. It starts in the 60s, then it moves on to the 70s and 80s and the noughties and the 90s. I beg your pardon. You can really go through the history and the development of the sketch show, and Paul picks out some of his favourite sketches and sort of comments on them. It really is a sort of a peek behind the curtains of the sketch shows that we all sort of grew up with. So you can watch the first episode. It goes out today. It's on the TV channel Gold, and it's on at 10:15 tonight. That's on Gold, 10:15 tonight. And it's four episodes, so you've got plenty to get stuck into.